Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Well, good morning. How are we all doing today? We excited? We ready? Like Isaiah said, we are wrapping up our teaching series, Living in the Groove. Everyone say, Living in the Groove. All right, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know this. We have been talking about this idea that God has a song that he has been playing since the beginning of time and that he invites us to join in. So we get to live in the groove of the song that he's already been playing. If we've talked about some different things, like God has given each of us a unique story and gifts and talents that we get to bring to the table to join in this song that we all play in. We've talked about how God uses all of the ups and downs of life, all of the good and bad emotions, all of the notes in his song. Nothing is wasted. And today's message is called Follow the Groove. Look at your neighbor and say, Follow the Groove. Look at your other neighbor, say, Follow the Groove. Tim's not here. I got to make you do this stuff. Listen. So Jesus invites each and every one of us to follow him. That starts with giving our lives to him, but also to follow his ways, to learn from him and his life and his rhythm so that we may not just experience eternal life, but that we would experience an abundant and full life right here on earth starting now. So if we are going to talk about this idea of living in the groove, of joining God's song, we have to talk about one of the biggest challenges that we face in our culture today, and where I think we tend to get out of step, out of the groove, if you will, of God's song the most, and that is in our pace. So the world we live in, you know, runs at like high octane speed, all on or all off. Go until you can't anymore. But Jesus invites us to something different. He invites us to follow his groove, to follow his pace. So what does that look like? We're going to talk about it today. But first, before we do that, I have a quick question. Raise of hands. Do any of you in here own a vinyl record player? All right. Kind of a lot, actually. Wow. Okay, this is a cool room. We love that. I have one at my house, and I came into possession of this vinyl record player after a Christmas party, and I won it in like a gift exchange, and it was by far the best gift. It was like in the office when somebody gets an iPod, like that was the thing. I got the record player, and it was amazing. And just full transparency, it's mostly just used for vibes at my house, not totally playing music. Just full honesty here. Especially when I first got it, I didn't totally know how to use it. I grew up with one in my house, but I didn't know how to use that one either. But it looks really cute on my shelf, you guys. And that's what really matters, right? So a few weeks after I got this, one of my friend's four-year-old daughters was at my house. We were having a little girls' day. I was watching her, and she was obsessed with this record player. So much so that when I left the room for just 1 minute, how many of you parents know? It's just 1 minute. That's all it takes, right? So 1 minute, and I walked out, and she was playing with this record player. And unbeknownst to me, she had turned this one little dial on this record player all the way up. Like, I'm talking all the way up. And again, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that the dial was a thing. That little dial was in charge of the speed of the turntable that played on this record player. So for like an embarrassingly long amount of time, every time I went to try to play a record after that, it was like all chipmunks all day, every day. It was like triple speed. And again, to be clear, I didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know that that was a thing. So I didn't know that it was an easy fix. I thought it was just broken. Yeah, I know, it's embarrassing. I'm just like exposing myself today, it's fine. Anyway, so I'm like, this is broken, great. So one of my much cooler and much smarter friends was over an embarrassingly long time after that, like a few months, and she was like, oh, it's not broken, you just need to turn the dial down, it's going too fast. LOL, who knew? Like, have you tried the volume? I don't know. That was how basic it was. The speed was too fast. I tell that story today because I think that's such a great picture for how a lot of us feel in our life right now. We're constantly running at either like triple speed, chipmunks all day, every day, or we crash. We have to turn off. Maybe you're like me and you're like, something is off, but I don't quite know how or what it is or how to fix it.
But at the end of the day, maybe, just maybe, our turntables are turning too fast. I don't think this will be brand new information to any of you in the room, but the world that we live in is in a hurry. Ask anyone this simple question if you stand out here in the lobby and just listen for a little bit. You will hear the question, how was your week? And you'll more than likely hear the answer, good. Busy, but good, right? We all feel it. We feel it on our commutes to work. We feel it in the school pickup line. We feel it waiting for our coffee order. You probably felt it today when you were on your way here, rushing to get a parking spot outside, rushing to get into Cap City to get your latte. Our calendars are busting at the seam. We live in a world that runs at neck-breaking pace, and it's just getting faster and faster. It wasn't too long ago, like in the grand scheme of history, it wasn't that long ago that the fastest speed a human could go was by the horse. Right? Right? Obviously, we know that things have advanced since then. Now we have trains, cars, planes. But I think the biggest thing that we need to understand about the world that we live in is now, with the internet and text messaging and email and AI, you can get any amount of information that you could ever want on any topic at light speed in your pocket. You need an essay written? AI can have one for you in a couple seconds. You want to read a new book? You can download an audiobook. Listen to it at 2x if you want, 2x speed, while you're at work. You want to learn a new skill? There's 1,000 YouTube tutorials for it. If those are too long or too many ads, you can go to TikTok. You can get the same information in less than a minute. Life hack. Forgot something at the store, it can be delivered to your house in mere hours. And with all this technological advancement, you would think that we would have more time. Right? Like the robots would be doing the work for us. We could just chill. But I think if we're honest, it feels the opposite. Like there aren't enough hours in the day. There aren't enough days in the week. We are constantly trying to catch up. We're just like my little record player. Our speed is too fast. And we all feel this. And I think we all would say we really value rest. Like how many of you love to rest and like chill? Yeah, I wish you had more of that. Yes. So we feel that, and so what happens, at least I've seen this in my own life, is I go until I can't anymore, and then I crash. And oftentimes, when I am, like, resting, I don't know about you, but what it looks like for me is I'm watching Netflix, and I'm scrolling social media, and I'm answering text messages, and I'm putting, like, grocery orders online, and I'm ordering my mom's birthday gift from Amazon Prime, so it's there the next day, and then I'm Venmo requesting my siblings for payment for that, right? So even when we know we need rest, we're physically resting, but our minds are still going 100 miles an hour. In the most recent data done on digital media consumption in the U.S., so this is like, we're talking music, podcasts, shows, movies. This is not including your work. So what you take in at work, this is outside of that. It showed that the average American in 2023 spent 454 minutes a day taking in digital media content. That's 7.5 hours. I let AI do the math for me. I didn't do that, don't worry. 7.5 hours a day of media that we're taking in. So not only are we physically moving too fast, mentally we never slow down. And this is the reality of the world that we live in, and it's going to continue. It's something we have to figure out. The thing is, like, this is not sustainable. We aren't meant to live this way, and it's impacting our souls. There's a phenomenal book on this topic if you are interested in deep diving it. It's by an author named John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. In his book, he touches on this phenomenon that psychologists are calling hurry sickness. Everyone say hurry sickness. We like say it all cute, like, yay, hurry sickness. Hurry sickness is exactly how it sounds. It's defined as a malaise in which a person feels chronically short of time. And so they tend to perform every task faster and to get flustered when encountering any kind of delay. Some symptoms of this that he lays out in his book, I'm just going to run through them. You just, I don't know, in your own heart, see if any of these hit. One, irritability. You're just kind of crabby. I get that. Two, hypersensitivity. Three, restlessness, you can't sit still. Four, nonstop work or activity, you're a workaholic. Emotional numbness, out of order priorities, lack of care for your body, you're not taking care of your physical health. escapist behaviors, you're trying to distract yourself from what's really going on. Slippage of spiritual disciplines, this is a big one. I'm too busy to pray. I don't have time. And then isolation, withdrawing from community. I can't go to small group, I'm busy. So if you could score yourself on that list, how do you think you would do right now? 10 out of 10 in a bad way. This is important. This is impacting our physical health, our mental health, and also our spiritual health. John Ortberg, who's another pastor and author who writes on this topic of hurry often, says this. He says, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. So we know this, don't we? This like isn't new information. If you're alive in the world, you feel this, right? And just full transparency, I'm not great at this. I found out I was teaching on this topic a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I need that message, right? And I've heard all these things before. I've read the books. I know the message of slowing down full well. But it is absolutely still my biggest challenge in life when it comes to my spiritual health, my physical health, my mental health. And my tendency when I hear a message like this is to be like, totally, agreed. What do we do about it? And what ends up happening is that I change nothing because I get so overwhelmed of like, how do we do this? How do we live like that? And that's honestly like, if I could be just frank with you right now, like that's my worry with this message today, is that I'm going to tell you something you already know. And you are going to agree with it, you're going to resonate with it, and we're all going to continue to do nothing about it. Like sometimes there are messages that we get up here and we preach about like how much God loves you, which is true, and the compassion of God and the forgiveness of God, which is true. Sometimes we get up here and we're going to like deep dive, you know, a Bible story and teach you something. But today, what this one is, this is more like a moment for us, like a self-reflection for us to be like, what are we going to do about this? I don't want to keep hearing stats like this year after year after year and not doing anything about it. The truth is that you, me, we are in control of our own life. We are in control of the speed that we are going at. So what I'm proposing to you today is that when we're talking about living in the groove of Jesus and we're talking about following the groove that he has laid out for us, that it has so much to do with our pace and our rhythm. But we tend to be more submitted to the groove of the world, of 3x speed, of going until you can't anymore. And so I would just beg the question, if you aren't willing to slow down to follow the ways of Jesus, then who are you following? So Jesus actually has a lot to say about this. And honestly, you've probably heard a lot of this before. And my hope, my prayer, is that you will hear them in a different way today. You will hear it as an invitation from a God who loves you, who cares for you, and wants to help you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take you through three different moments in Scripture to show us a few things of what Jesus did and what Jesus taught, specifically when it comes to our pace in life. So first up, we have Matthew 11, verse 28. Says this, says, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. How many of you would say you feel tired right now? Anybody? Hands up. Yeah, I'll go first. Maybe you're feeling weary. Maybe you feel like you walked in here like carrying a burden, like a burden that you actually feel the weight of. First of all, I just want to tell you, you're not alone. Like, there's so many hands up in the room. But second, this isn't a new problem. This is in the Bible from thousands of years ago. People were tired then, and Jesus knows we are tired now, and we would need these words just as much as they did. But I also love that Jesus calls this out specifically. He's like, hey, you, come to me. I will give you rest. What a relief that is, right? We don't have to figure it out on our own. Jesus says, please, let me help. Verse 29, he goes on and says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, if you don't know what a yoke is, That's okay. I didn't either. A yoke is an ancient farming tool that looks like this. I think we have a picture. There it is. Look. They're so cute. Wow. So the yoke is like the wood part on their necks. Sounds fun, doesn't it? At first glance, this is kind of a wild offer from Jesus. He's like, you're tired? Have you tried farming? I have a tool for you. I think you'll love it, right? Our natural reaction and what we all tend to do in our life is like, you're tired? You need a nap. You're weary? You need a vacation. And I'm not anti-nap or vacation. I'm actually very pro-nap and vacation. Very pro. But I think what ends up happening is that when we are in this like world that is very hurried and we are just going nonstop, is that we think that like 6 days near the beach will help us to keep going for the next 11 months. Or you're sleeping less than 6 hours a night, don't worry, you can take a power nap. It'll be totally fine. And we think that that's going to fix everything, but it's just a Band-Aid over the problem. But Jesus, his invitation offers something different. So Jesus knows there's an emotional and spiritual weight to being alive, to being a human. And we all feel it. And the reality is that there's no escaping it. That's the truth today, right? It's unrealistic to think that we can eliminate all the things that are weighing on us or all of our responsibilities, that life will ever feel completely stress-free. It won't. But instead of getting rid of the burdens of your life, Jesus instead offers you a different way to carry them. So this yoke is used when training a new animal how to plow. I know about farming, you guys. So when training a new animal to plow, so ancient farmers would yoke the younger animal to the older, stronger, more experienced one who bore the burden and guided the young animal through the learning process. And it works best when the animals are walking in step together. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, what he's inviting you to do is to walk with him, to slow down to his speed, to learn from him, to let him do the lifting, to stay close to him, he will lead you. And that starts with this invitation to slow down, to match his pace. So Jesus invites each and every one of you. He says, come to me, I will give you rest. I will help you, I will walk with you. And he also models what that pace even looks like. He shows us, he's not all talk, he walks it out. We're going to jump ahead now to actually Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, in this point of the story, so Jesus has started his ministry. He's beginning to do miracles. He's teaching crowd after crowd, and he casts out demons. He heals many people of illnesses. He's gathering his disciples, and word is starting to spread about this guy. This is where we pick up in verse 15. It says, the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So these people are desperate. They've heard, like, this guy can make me better. This guy can heal me. I have to find him, right? Word was traveling fast, and they could not get to him fast enough. They needed him. Now, just real talk, like, I think this would be great news for any of us today. Like, oh, you heard my work was good? Wow, you're impressed. Amazing, right? It was like, we want more influence. We want the crowds to get bigger. If you are succeeding, it's like, keep pushing the gas pedal. Keep going. But how does Jesus respond? Verse 16. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So the groove of Jesus that we are invited to follow often involves withdrawing and it involves solitude and it involves prayer and it involves rest. And this happens often. If you read the Gospels, through the Gospels, you will see story after story where Jesus goes and he does something crazy and then he stops to pray, usually by himself. He slows down in order to catch up to his soul, right? Slows down to sit with God. And the reality is people needed Jesus just in the same way that people need you. People wanted him to do more for them, just like people want you to do more. But Jesus knew that the pace of the world he was in and the expectations that were on him would take something from him. And so in order to keep going and in order to live out the life that his Father had called him to,
that he needed to slow down.
And the truth is, it will do the same for us, right? Like, the expectations that we have on us, the pace that we live in, will take something from us. And so in order for us to live out this life that God has called us to, in order for us to be our truest self, our most whole self, we must value stopping, withdrawing, and prayer. We must seek God's presence and power and get his guidance and help. This is the rhythm that Jesus lays out for us, right? One that both acts and rests. One that wants clarity on what do I say yes to, what do I say no to. And above all else, is dependent on God's help. So if Jesus himself needed that help, how much more do I need that? How much more do we need that, right? So he models this for us so we can follow him. And then finally, I want us to fast forward to Acts chapter 2, just to see where this help comes from. How does he help us? So in Acts chapter 2, just to catch you up again in the story of what's happening, Jesus has been crucified. He's resurrected, and he starts to gather his disciples, and he's sending them out on a mission to build the church, like the very first church. The reason that you and I are in this church right now is because of these people building the first church. And so he tells them, I want you to go. I want you to spread the news of the gospel. And he's like, go as far as you can, to the ends of the earth, right? And so you know that they had to be ready to go. You know that they were anxious to get started. And what does Jesus tell them? He says, but before you do that, you need to wait. It says, go and wait. Gather together. And so they do just that. They go to the upper room, and what is now called the upper room, and they do that. They just wait. They don't totally know what they're waiting on, but they were told to wait. This is where we pick up in Acts chapter 2. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire, it appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, this moment in Acts 2 is a monumental moment because it marks the day when God's Holy Spirit comes to live with his people. So since this day happened, we in the church recognize it as the day of Pentecost. Everyone say day of Pentecost? I keep giving you hard things to say. Day of Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek word used to describe a festival which was being celebrated at the time that this happened. And it's traditionally about 50 days after Easter. And every year, Christians all over the world still recognize this day because of the significance of this moment of God sending his Spirit to his people. And the crazy thing is, today is actually that day. May 19th, 2024, day of Pentecost, is the day churches all over the world are celebrating this very moment. And I think it's no coincidence that this message happened to line up on this day. I love this story in scripture because it marks the start of a new world that we live in. Before this moment, the presence of God was limited to like very specific places like the temple or to people who were approved to encounter the presence of God. But now, after this moment, the presence of God is personal. It's accessible. Suddenly, it says, there was a rushing wind, and God fills them with his Spirit, and his Spirit empowers them to do what otherwise seems impossible. This is important because God had called them to action, but before they were to act, he's like, wait, just slow down, because you actually need my help to be able to do this. So he says, wait. He knew that in order for them to be able to do what he had called them to do, he would need help. And so the power of God rushes in, but it was preceded by waiting. And the same is true for us today. God wants to fill you with his Spirit so that you can live the life that he has called you to, he's invited you to. He doesn't want you going on your own. He doesn't expect that. He's ready and willing to help. While I was preparing for this message, I got a little bit in my head, I'm not going to lie, because I'm a pretty busy Goral. Especially right now, like my calendar is full. It's full. And I'm pretty bad at slowing down, just full transparency. And so what happens to me is like I tend to hear a message like this and like this idea of like Jesus is calling us to slow down. And I start to kind of beat myself up a little bit. And I'm like, I treat this like the way that Jesus calls us to, the groove of Jesus, more like a moral rubric that I'm supposed to get a good grade on. And I'm like, wow, I'm failing at this. And so I put up a wall. And again, like I said earlier, I change nothing. I get overwhelmed. But the longer that I have walked with Jesus, the more that I have seen, the more that I know that I know that I know, is that the ways of Jesus are a gift to me. They are a gift to us. Jesus says, I came to bring you life and life to the full. And so his invitation to follow him is how we access that life. He says, I know you. I know what you're living, the world that you're living in. I know what you're having to deal with. I know your individual tendencies and struggles. Please let me help you. And so if you hear one thing from this message today, what I want you to hear from me is that like following the groove that we're talking about, following the groove of Jesus, isn't about pulling the ripcord on your life and all your responsibilities and just like sitting at home doing nothing. Jesus never modeled a life that wasn't busy. He did a lot. But he also did not model a life of overcommitment. The groove of Jesus has a mixture of activity and resting and waiting and listening. He knew when to say no, and he also knew when to say yes. And so when we talk about God's song, it's not going to be the same beat every day of your life. You're going to have busy days. If you have kids in the room, I'm sure right now feels insane. There will be days in your life when God calls you to rush in and to act, and he will help you to do that. There will also be days when it's slow, and God will call you to wait. Following the groove of Jesus is less about the speed itself and more about who you are following. When I was, again, praying over this message, like, God, what do you want to show us, tell us about this idea? I felt like God gave me this picture of, like, a massive orchestra. I know as much about orchestra as I do about farming, so just be ready for that. But it was like, we're all in this huge orchestra together, and we're all playing different instruments, and maybe I'm over here on the flute, maybe. Dibs on the flute. That's an orchestra, right? No, orchestra strings. Anyway, okay. You get it. Thanks. So we're all in this massive orchestra, right? And the thing is that you may be over here needing to play more notes than this person over here at any given moment. And then it'll switch. And you may need to speed up, or you may need to slow down. We all may need to slow down. But the way that we know how to do that and the way we know what to play is by keeping our eyes on the conductor at the front. And I don't know if you've ever been to a show like that. I don't ever know what the conductor is doing. I just know he's going crazy, but he knows what he's doing, right? And they know what he's doing. And I think that's such a good word for us, like to just focus on who are you following? Keep your eyes on the Lord. He is the conductor. He knows what he's doing. Pulling back from my story earlier about that vinyl record player. I said a vinyl. That's not even the thing. Anyway, a record player. You get it. I was like, I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about. And so I'm going to make sure that that is even what happened with that. And so I was reading the user manual. I also love user manuals. I love to know how things work. So I was reading the user manual of this record player. And sure enough, this dial controls the speed of the turntable. And then I was like, well, how do you even know, like, what speed to play? And it says in here that it depends on what vinyl you're playing. So you need a different speed based on what type of vinyl you want to play. And so it gives you some, like, general directions on, like, this should probably work. But then, not joking at all, you guys, what it says verbatim in this user manual, it says, to check for the correct speed listen with your ear. Like, first of all, what? I wish I had written that. Okay, listen with your ear. What a power move. But I think that's actually so helpful for us in this conversation, to listen with our ear. I feel like you are the one that's going to know, like, things feel off. Doesn't sound right. The song in my life feels too fast. Maybe it feels too slow. But listen with your ear. Keep your eyes on the conductor, on who's ahead of you, to find the right speed, right? And so to close today, I want to do just that. I want to give us each time to pray and to listen. I would encourage you, the same way this user manual encouraged me, to listen with your ear. Is your BPM too fast? Do you need to slow down? Maybe God is calling you to action. Maybe he's wanting you to step into something new and you need to speed up. But if that's you, like, he's ready to fill you with what you need, to give you strength, to give you power. So what is God saying to you? Where is he leading you? I would just encourage you to listen. So let's pray. I'm going to pray over us if you want to close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into the room. I pray even in this moment, like, our heart rates would slow, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, come. With your eyes still closed, I have a couple ways I want to pray for us today. So first, maybe for you, this idea of following the groove means simply to give your life to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, but he also says, come, follow me. So if you want to live in the groove of Jesus, it starts with following him, which starts with salvation. So if that's you today, I want to pray with you. You just follow along, pray on your own in your seat. I'll pray this for you. It says, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. I give you my life. Next up, I just want to echo the words of Jesus' invitation that we read earlier. It says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy burdened, all who are tired. I will give you rest. Are you weary? God wants to help you. Maybe this is the day that you open yourself up to that help. Maybe this is the day, like, we aren't stuck in this cycle forever. We can do something about it. I want to pray for you specifically. And I would just ask for, like, 2 seconds of courage. If you're feeling tired or weary, or if you have a burden that is weighing on you today, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? This is just for me, just so I can see you. It's good. So I'm going to pray. God, we just lift up each and every person in here that is feeling tired or weary or burdened. I pray for specifically the burdens that are weighing on them. God, we just come to you. Like your word says, we come to you and we ask for rest. We ask that you would lighten those burdens, that you, like, the weight would physically lift. We pray for breakthrough in each and every one of these situations. We pray that even as they walk out of here today, God, that they would feel your rest. God, I pray for each and every person in this room. I pray that we would take this message that you've given us and we would take it seriously. God, would you give us creative ideas, even throughout our weeks, of ways that we can slow down, ways that we can seek your presence, ways that we can hear from you. God, would you turn our attention to you? Jesus, we love you and we thank you for the gifts that you have given us and the ways that you have invited us to follow you so that we can live life to the full right now, right here. So God, we love you and we just ask for more of you
and ask that you would continue to help us slow down. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are going to worship for just a little bit longer, and I would encourage you, like, don't rush out. Like, we're literally just talking about this of, like, slowing down to let your soul catch up, to seek the presence of the Lord. So we are inviting you to do just that, to slow down, to worship and praise him for just a few more minutes. So we're going to respond in worship. If you want to stand and worship with us, and this altar is open at the front if you want to come up and worship, or if you need prayer, our prayer team will be at the front and in the back if you would like prayer. If you need anything in prayer, don't leave without getting seeing our prayer team. Let's worship.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.